We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light, and don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout the state of Pennsylvania. It's quarter number four, the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. And Dustin, we still get another game to talk about. We're going to do a look ahead. It's Penn State, Illinois in the crossover game. But boy, a lot happened to get us here. Let's start, first of all, last week in press conferences, James Franklin did not appear too happy for the fact that they weren't telling him anything about what the plans were. By they, I mean the Big Ten Conference.
Yeah, I think I understand that a lot of like hell broke loose throughout the course of the season, and you have different teams with different numbers of games played, and you had to figure out obviously the championship game situation. And then they kind of went off on a tangent and went away from the, you know, maybe as a direct result of that, the 1 versus 1, 2 versus 2, 3 versus 3. And they took that final like week or so to try to sort out what they're trying to accomplish this championship weekend, where it's not as straightforward as they planned for it to be. So I don't know if they overcomplicated it. I don't know if they got the matchups right, but I know that the coaches were left in the dark, and it was a situation. It felt like, you know, it's almost like it's wrapping up the regular season and treating it like a bowl game where your opponent isn't apparent right away. So I don't know if James Franklin and those guys would have prepped for Illinois specifically as a result, but it would be nice just to have to be able to know what to anticipate and when you can expect some kind of piece of news about who your final opponent's going to be and how that's all going to work. They took it down to the wire and they didn't really clue anybody in as to what was going to happen.
Well, I think they didn't give information that they already had. Things like, I know we said 1 versus 1, 2 versus 2, but if there's a rivalry game that didn't get played, we're going to try to get that in. They didn't tell teams, you know, what would be Friday night games, which would be Saturday games. So I could understand why James Franklin might have been upset about those things. Let's go, though, to the first decision they had to make in the Big Ten, which was, well, they made a rule. You had to play more than five games to play in the championship game. Well, that's unless you're Ohio State, correct?
I like to think that they would have made that decision for someone else too. But you know, the anybody who's cynical about the situation would say, okay, Ohio State is a bigger draw in the championship game. They need a little bit of help when it comes to representing the Big Ten in potentially the college football playoff. So they got a little bit of preferential treatment there. I didn't have a problem with them doing what they did. I thought of all seasons, this was the year to maybe throw out the rules that you made on the fly before the year began. I don't think it made a lot of sense necessarily to sit there and look at it and say, well, we made this rule in August. Well, you know, everything has changed since then. Teams have missed games. You know, I think everybody should be considering this scramble mode to try to make the best possible decision and not adhere to a rule that probably doesn't make as much sense in this environment as it did when you made the rule in the first place. It sucks for Indiana. No question about that. But, you know, Ohio State won the head to head. They would have won the East Division, whether they did or didn't play against Michigan that weekend. I personally, I see people's problem with it, and I see what the appearance of it is. Maybe they should have expressed some consideration of changing that rule prior to being in this situation. Maybe they should have anticipated that more so they could at least avoid the appearance of favoritism. But I honestly didn't have a big problem with it. I think Ohio State is clearly the best team. There's other cases to be made for them to be in that game. James Franklin didn't have a problem, neither did I.
Well, don't get me wrong. I don't have a problem with the decision. You want your best team there, which is Ohio State. The problem is, when they made the rule, why didn't they do a little more thinking back then? what were they going to do with that 5-0 team if they said, okay, Ohio State, you can't play in the championship game because you didn't play enough games? Would they now say they play in the second place game? You know, if you're going to do that, you had to think that there could be the situation that came up, which was Ohio State one game short of qualifying, and even if they lost that game, they would still go. Why did someone not think of that 2 months ago? And it also, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it was either a consideration or anticipation problem or a communication problem. You know, or some combination of all of them. And I think it would be fair to say that the Big Ten has struggled in all of those departments since the very beginning of all this. Why not stay in character throughout the season? That's what you're saying, I agree with. I think you need to express some consideration that rule is a flexible one before you're in a position like this. You know, I think they could have anticipated that.
Exactly. All right, let's get to the Penn State and their opponent and how things worked out. As we said, there were a couple of these rivalry games, which it also would have been nice if they had talked about that ahead of time. And that's how Penn State ended up playing Illinois.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm fine with the matchups in general, I suppose. But I think it would have been nice to say in advance, especially if you're a coach just trying to figure out, you know, what to tell your team, you know, to know that they don't know the matchups yet. Because, you know, they painted this picture that it was going to be really straightforward, 1 versus 1, 2 versus 2, 3 versus 3. And now what do we have? We have Penn State as what, the 4 in the East going against, you know, Illinois, who's the 6 in the West. It's not a rivalry game. It's just like, okay, well, we put the puzzle together the best we could, and here's what we have left at Penn State, Illinois.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. Now, and Penn State as a 3-5 team, you know, it's not like when you're going to a bowl game and you want to play the highest ranked team you possibly can. I'm not saying I want Penn State to get an easy game, but I'm not sure that, oh, they got Illinois instead of Wisconsin or Minnesota. I don't think as a fan, I have a problem with that. And if you're James Franklin, I'm sure he's happy that the game's at home. He could have been informed that this is the way things were trending, you know, last week when they were piecing this together. Now, let's talk a little bit about Illinois, Dustin. First thing to know is, in the meantime, they fired their coach this past weekend. So Lovie Smith won't be there. What effect does that have on a team going into a game like this? Is it, boy, they'll pack it in? Or is it going to be, let's win one for Lovie? Which reaction does the team take?
It's hard to predict that. I mean, equal odds of it going in either direction. Now, you're looking at an Illinois team that's outmanned. They're 2-5. They've been relatively competitive in a lot of games. They beat the same Nebraska team that Penn State should, you know, to this day be embarrassed to have lost to. But I don't see them really coming out being a very motivated team. You know, what are you playing for here exactly? Not to mention the fact that they are outgunned, you know, and that's why Lovie Smith was shown the door in the first place. Is I think you can't really argue that he got good effort from his players, but at a certain point in time, that's not enough. You know, getting a good effort and getting the most out of your guys is great, but you need players. And I don't think Illinois really stockpiled a lot of, you know, very competitive players. They stockpiled talent exactly as you would expect the 12th best team in the Big Ten to do. And they can put up a fight. They can do whatever they got to do. But in the end, that talent deficit again and again and again has been a problem. And I suspect it's going to be a problem again this weekend.
The only thing, Dustin, in the Big Ten and probably throughout the country in this really odd year, we know that Ohio State is the best team in the Big Ten. I'm sure they're going to be a huge favorite against Northwestern. You take the rest of the teams in the Big Ten, I'm not so sure. I don't know who the good teams are, who the best of the rest really are. And because of that, you see a Penn State losing to Nebraska, getting embarrassed by Maryland, but then winning 3 games in a row. And the same thing with this Illinois team. they were able to beat Nebraska rather handily, and that was a team that Penn State lost to. So, you know, I guess I don't go into this game quite as confident as I normally do with a Penn State versus Illinois game.
Yeah, I there's been so much of a roller coaster ride for so many of these teams, including Michigan State too. You know, they had some high moments. The first 30 minutes, or at least the second 15 minutes of the game against Penn State, was another high moment for them. But you have seen some erratic play from just about everybody, and hard to predict what's going to happen. But, you know, I think after 8 weeks, you can start to get a little bit better feel for who these teams are. And the eye test maybe gets involved here. Penn State, I felt like, you know, they were certainly better than 0-5, but they were what their record said they were. Now, in the end here, I think 3-5 is just about what you'd expect from this team. They're a better football team than Illinois is. They have more talent across the board. They've found their stride a little bit. They're trending upward. So to me, it makes sense to install them as what a 2-touchdown favorite.
And yes, yeah, speaking of which, the DraftKings spread on this, it is Penn State is a 14.5 point favorite, Dustin. And again, it's such a crazy year, it's hard to make predictions. But that's why you're paid the big bucks. You're going to tell us what's going to happen Penn State Illinois this weekend.
I've got Penn State covering. I'm going to call it 34-14. I don't know. I think there's going to be a breaking point for this Illinois team where they have to decide to what extent they want to be in this game. Not a lot of firepower on the offensive side of the ball. They're going to try to run the ball. They're going to try to establish that part of the game. They're not very good at finishing drives, so I think that might be something that plays into Penn State's favor. I think Penn State's going to score some points. I think there's going to be a little bit of sloppiness on the Illinois side that breaks this game open. I've got them covering. I assume the spread's going to stay in that 15 range. I've got Penn State winning by 20 in this one, finishing 4-5, then being a pretty motivated team if, in fact, they do play in a bowl game, to have that 500 record hanging out there.
I do think Penn State is the team with some motivation here with a 3-game winning streak. And I also saw, Dustin, it's after the game, a couple of players that were asked about it, they truly seemed excited about playing in a bowl game if that opportunity comes up. So it does seem like the Penn State players are the ones that would be most motivated in the game. And I think that's going to be a huge difference here. So we shall see, Dustin. We have a few days before the game, but I'm looking forward to it, as are all Penn State fans. All right, that is it for the Keystone Kickoff Show. Be sure to join us next time.
Hi, this is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. If you're a fan of our Keystone Kickoff Show and you don't want to miss any of our analysis and review of the Penn State football team, there are plenty of ways to make sure you don't miss a single segment of our show. The best way to hear everything that Dustin, Greg, Ross, Bob, and Andy have to say is to download our app, Keystone Sports, from your app store. You can also find us on Spotify, the Apple Store, Google Play, and KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. We are the place for Penn State football analysis.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.